although the blades come forward. Cusack, oh, that's clever. And this is Newsham. Wonderful finish. Another corner here for Sheffield United. Rayner at the near post. That's a wonderful goal by Bex Rayner. And
attack the day. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Sports for Champions podcast. Today I'm joined by Sheffield United's Rebecca Rayner. How are you today, Rebecca?
Hey, I'm great, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. It's great to have you here. I'd like to start, if we could, with your early career. When did you start playing football?
I started playing football when I was four. Joined a boys under 16. Went from there, really.
How was the level?
It was decent, you know. I played quite a lot of good teams. Obviously, being the only girl, a bit challenging, but I think I thrived, really.
How do you think that people treated you differently, obviously being the only girl on the team? Do you think people treated you differently, or was it exactly the same as all the others?
I don't think my team treated me differently, but I think, obviously, when I turned up and the other team were like, oh, that's like the only girl. Mm-hmm. That's the girl on their team, that's the girl. And yeah, it was a bit daunting going into a game, but I just thought, oh, I'll just prove them wrong once I start playing.
So were you, at that age, were you already quite athletic or were you more technical?
I was probably more athletic then. More of a goal scorer.
Yeah. And I know you've transitioned into more of a creative kind of flair player. When did that happen?
As I got older, really. More into ages of like 14 onwards. Just started to read the game a lot better. Dropped backwards and I was more of like a playmaker,
pulling the strings.
Yeah,
lovely. And then, so I know that you were scouted fairly early on, but when did you first realise that you really had a talent?
Probably when I was playing in the tournaments in the summer for the boys teams, and I was scoring a lot of goals. I think I probably realised that I stood out then. When I was playing for the boys team, I think one of the Liverpool scouts thought I were a boy.
Right.
And they were, like, wanted to scout me when I was like under six.
Wow.
So I think kind of got the gist that, oh, I'm quite decent at this.
That's amazing. And then you were eight, I think, when you first went to a big sort of trial day kind of thing.
Yeah.
How did that work?
So went to a school, like holiday camp, with Leeds United Legends that got advertised at school. So I went to that and the decided to pick a girl and the best girl and the best boy from the tournaments that we played at the end of it. And luckily I was the girl that got picked, then went for trials at Leeds and managed to get in.
Wow, that must have been amazing at eight, being scouted for a professional team like Leeds. How was that with your family and everything? Was it a big thing?
Being a Man United fan, they were a bit like, oh, not Leeds, but
not ideal.
Yeah, they were really proud, I think. It were a bit of a shock at the time because I'd always played like, oh yeah, average Sunday league football, and then all of a sudden got to go to a big team and started playing against like bigger teams in leagues and things like that.
That's amazing. I know you did really well in your early time at Leeds, and then you were eventually scouted for England at 13. How was that?
It was crazy. I remember the day I got the call and I was like, oh, are you going to be going to Holland to play for England under 15s? And I was just like, wow.
And that was when you were 13?
Yeah.
Wow, so I guess there wasn't too many.
Yeah, I think
that.
I was the youngest one in my age group when I got there.
Wow.
And obviously I didn't know anyone, so it was a bit like, this is mad.
Yeah. I think at 13, you are just a kid, aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's quite a lot to take on at that time. How did you do in the internationals?
I did well, I think. I started in the second game. Obviously didn't know anyone, so I got going at first. Didn't expect to start in the first game, but then started in the second game and did well. I think I got an assist in one of them.
There you go. And then, so I think you've carried on with Leeds, I think, for a couple more years.
Yeah.
And then you left Leeds. Why was that?
Leeds didn't have a great women's team. Because there was when I was growing up, Leeds were always the best women's team, but I think the funding went.
Right.
Due to the men's team pulling it. So they want a step up for me to go to that was at my level. So my manager at the time that I was at Leeds, she'd moved to Doncaster Bells, who was in the top women's league, the Women's Super League. So she brought me there, and then I developed there.
So much of what of what happens in the women's leagues directed by funding, and it's a huge issue at the moment, but yeah, it does look like it's starting to change slowly. Is that something that plays on women footballers' mind? Is it something that's talked about quite a lot?
Yeah, I think it's talked about a lot, especially in my league. There's obviously part-time teams in my league, in a predominantly full-time league, one being my team, Sheffield United. So funding's a big thing. In the past few years, it's gone through the roof funding wise. We're women's football's a growing sport, but it's at the rate it grows. We don't want it to go up straight away. We want it to be sustainable.
Yeah, natural growth. Because you did see, I know in the men's game, the Chinese leagues had a crazy 3 or 4 years where they were basically just throwing hundreds of millions into the league and paying people ridiculous wages, and it obviously...
It don't work. You've got to move at a good rate.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing now in the women's game, the attendances are going up. Obviously, the Euros in the summer was incredible, and that's done so much for the game. Where do you see it ending up?
I don't see it ending up as like big as the men's game straight away, but in the next 5 years I see it growing massively. Like you see, there's 40,000 going to the London Derby, I think, next week, so that's just a big jump in attendances. There's a lot of young girls that are now getting to see women play on TV, so then they're going to want to go to games.
Did you have anyone that you looked up to when you were that age? So when you're coming through with Leeds and you're sort of young teens, was there that kind of person who'd kind of gone through that door to look up to?
Yeah, I feel like one that stood out was Sue Smith when I was growing up in the women's game. She was at Leeds United when I were younger, so sometimes when I was training I could see her on the other pitch, which were she's a big person to look up to.
That's amazing. So then I think you left Doncaster and then went to Sheffield, but I think that was only like a short stay. How did that work out?
So I won the league with Doncaster Bells, the women's championship, which should have meant that we went into the top league, and we had a great team, but unfortunately we didn't have the funding, and Doncaster Bells ended up dropping down 3 leagues.
Oh, wow.
So... It gave me no option but to move away, because obviously I didn't want to drop down 3 leagues. Wanted to keep at the standard I were at or better.
Of course, yeah.
And the option was to go to Sheffield United.
So would Sheffield have been a bigger women's club even than maybe Leeds at the time, or are they similar?
So it was the first year that Sheffield United had entered into the championship.
Right.
So I think they'd kind of just bought into it. So I was going there with a bunch of players that were put together that season. So it was a full new team.
What's that like in terms of everybody gelling and stuff? Because we do see it quite a lot in the men's game that if you throw a load of players in one transfer window, it can take a bit of time to gel.
I think it did take a bit of time to gel. I think we couldn't figure out what striker we wanted, and we had like 5 different strikers within the first 2 months. But we did a lot of like team bonding to get to know each other, which were vital really. And then I think towards the end of the season we won 6 games on trot.
Wow.
So we eventually got to know each other really well, but probably too late in that season.
Yeah, it kind of came together right at the end.
Yeah.
I know you started this season really strong.
So
like in terms of your position, you said earlier that you started out as a striker and then kind of moved back. So where do you kind of see yourself now?
I see myself as a number 10 playmaker role. Like to make assists for people to score, but then also like to score as well.
Yeah.
Kind of a mixture of the game.
Yeah. Like them late runs into the box.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then do you think that as you get older, you do typically see players move all the way back and then eventually, maybe not quite as far as centre-half, but do you see yourself moving into a bit of a quarterback role at some point?
Yeah, because I have like football brain, because I watch like football all the time. I'm obsessed with it. Probably moving to a Scorsese role when I'm older, I guess.
Yeah.
Just playing the ball from the number 4. Just switching it.
So anyone who doesn't know, we're both United fans, so that's Paul Scholes. That's the Paul Scholes role.
That's the Paul Scholes role.
And then so you went to Nottingham Forest after that. How was that experience? Obviously a huge club with great history.
Yeah, it was a great experience. The club was, it was great. I absolutely love the club. It was really like inspiring to see where they were in the game, because there was a tier below what I'd usually played, but they were still great footballers, probably similar to what I play against now. That league was very competitive. So it was nice to see football from a different perspective, because I'd always seen it from kind of like the top, if you know what I mean, or the top two leagues, but the third tier was also just as good.
Yeah, in terms of the football pyramid, like, so England in particular is really well known for having strength in depth in terms of the leagues and stuff like that. Is it similar in the women's game?
I feel like in the top league, you know who's kind of going to come at the top and who's going to be at the bottom, but it's opening up more as it's become more professional.
Yeah.
And the more funding going into it, teams at the bottom might now challenge to go to the top. So I think it's a bit open in a way. Same in my league. At the minute, I don't know who's going to come top at league end of season. It could be like anybody.
Use.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully us.
Yeah. So, and then you actually, so you left Nottingham Forest and went back to Sheffield. How did that come about?
So my manager at Doncaster Bells, Neil Redfern, he was at Sheffield United, and I was halfway through the season at Forest, and I got a call saying, oh, we want you to come to Sheffield United. We need like a playmaker. We want you to come and play for us.
That must be nice to be somebody to come specifically for you in that way. Did you have a conversation with him about your role in the team? Is that how it works, kind of
thing? Yeah, he was just like, we want like someone with ball skills. We want to go forward a lot quicker. We need someone to link the play. When I went there, it was in January. In January, like kind of like transfer window, say. And yeah, played for them since.
So in terms of your ball skills, obviously a very technical player, where do you think that comes from? I don't know whether you were out in the garden in the mornings kicking the ball against the wall with both feet, or what kind of...
I think I kind of call myself a street baller.
Yeah.
I grew up playing football on the street. I'm watching Wayne Rooney, Street Striker.
That was a classic. I don't know about his jean selection.
But not me neither. And boot cuts. So just grew up on the street playing football with my brother's friends.
Yeah.
Who were all like 16 and I was like 12. Do you think even below.
Do you think that really helped you in terms of your development? Obviously playing against not just older people, but obviously all the boys as well. So they're going to develop quicker and be a bit bigger and a bit stronger and stuff. Do you think that kind of pushed you on?
I feel like I got the physicality from it as well as the skill. Because I needed to have the skill to get past them, because I didn't have pace over the boys.
Yeah, so
But yeah, growing up playing football on the street was really, really fun. I kind of miss it, actually.
Yeah, it's a weird transition, isn't it? Because you kind of go from that style of football to, I guess, the academy game is quite the kind of manufactured players, and everybody seems to be...
Yeah, there's more, there's roles to it, whereas when you're playing football on the street, you just do what you want.
Yeah, I think that's why you see a lot of the South American kids that come through, because they tend to not come from that academy system, and they're a talent where they come from, and then they kind of get thrown into the league straight away. Do you see that in the women's game as well?
I feel like there's more transition in the women's game. You might have done a few years ago, you might have just got raw talent coming through. I feel like the kids that are coming through, definitely in my team now, are really developed, know the game a lot, kind of like got set roles and know how to play it.
Has tactics changed at all in your time in the game?
I think definitely recently now analysis has come more into the game. Tactics around beating other teams, and like we'll spend half an hour watching the other team before we play them.
Right.
Just to narrow down what their weaknesses are and how we can exploit them.
What kind of analysis do you get on your own game?
So we watch through... Like last night, I did a few clips on the game at the weekend, just showing what we did well and what we can do better, but quite detailed.
How does that work? Do they send you videos and a little bit of text, or do you all sit in a meeting room?
So we have like a team meeting. Mm-hmm. It went on for about half an hour. Just kind of going through, our good parts and bad parts. This is what you can do better next time.
So I think you won 8-0 in your last game, is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm guessing that was quite a short meeting, or do you celebrate the wins as much?
I feel like we didn't celebrate it too much because it's early doors.
Yeah.
We can't get overexcited. We didn't even go through all the goals. We went through the bits that we needed to do better.
Mm.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah. And then how do you think that is? So you're only a few games into the season this time round.
Yeah.
Obviously winning 8-0 at any point of the season is going to be good.
Yeah.
But how do you think you are set for the season? Where do you see yourself finishing?
I like to say we finish quite high in the table. Obviously, I want to win the league and go up. But got to be realistic, being a part-time team, that could drop off. But I don't see us dropping off. But being realistic, I think last season we wanted to end in the top four.
Mm.
So obviously we'll go for that again. Didn't get in it last season, but just aim as high as possible, really.
In terms of your personal game, I know you got a goal and assist in the last game. We'll put that on screen now. So how did that feel? It was a bit. It was a header, which I don't know if you get too many of those.
I'm quite small. Yeah. I don't expect an header, but my role on corners is to get across the front post and try just get a nick on it.
Mm.
Luckily, got a good header, which won't stop. So.
Yeah, glancing header at the front post. It's a striker's
It is a striker's dream. It's a rare one for me.
Mm.
Usually I'm on the edge of box waiting for the shot, but got a new role.
Yeah.
I'm doing it well.
And then can you tell us about that assist? Delightful.
Yeah. I enjoyed that assist more than goal. Just split through five players.
It was a threaded pass that took out their entire defence.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if people watching realise how difficult that is to do. It's something that we saw De Bruyne do recently. I think Haaland ran over to him celebrating the pass instead of the goal, because it's like that made the goal essentially.
Yeah, well, you can see in the goal celebration how happy I am. Happier than I am in my own goal celebration. Like assists like that, I kind of like really, really thrive off. That's my favourite part of the game, really.
That's it. It's such an instinctive thing for you, but I don't know whether that's something that you practice for. How often do you actually train?
We train 3 nights a week.
Right.
2-hour sessions. Wednesday night's more of a gym training night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a mixture. And then obviously play on the weekends.
Do you do any work outside of that? Do you do any gym work or any running or anything like that?
Yeah, I do some gym work in between, so because I don't get much time at training, do my own gym away from football.
Yeah, and how's your nutrition?
My nutrition's really good. That's something I've learned a lot about recently, and how important it is for your performance.
Yeah.
We've added a nutritionist at Sheffield United this year, which is something new. We're funding that in the women's game. That's what comes from it. And I've learned how vital that is to support my game.
What are some of the key takeaways that you've changed? I know, when I say takeaways, I mean things that you took for it, not actual takeaways.
Stop the takeaways. just like carbohydrates and not eating as many.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really realise how much I was eating.
Yeah.
Just simple things like that, cutting my carbs down on my off days, so that I'm not putting extra weight on that I don't need. Brown and white carbs, what days to eat them, just basic stuff like that that I wouldn't have known without a nutritionist, because I've never known that growing up. I wasn't taught about food or anything like that.
Do you still allow yourself the odd cheat meal?
Sometimes, if I've deserved it.
So if you have a good performance at the weekend, maybe.
And treat myself.
What kind of thing would you go for?
I'm a big pizza fan.
Yeah.
I like a nice Italian pizza, like a proper, or a Neapolitan pizza. That'd be my go-to.
Lovely. Yeah, I'll be with you on that. Do you think that, obviously, there's a lot of sacrifices that you have to make. You live differently, eat differently, training outside of your other training and things like that. And obviously, with that, you can't actually have like a normal full-time job, because otherwise you won't be able to play and train to your potential. Do you think that the life of an athlete is tough compared to maybe other jobs?
Yeah. Like transitioning out of uni to going being part-time, I found it quite difficult because sometimes, like, through the day, I'm not really doing anything and I'm trying to, like, keep myself occupied and ready for training at night. I kind of do focus on what food I can make through the days, but it's hard. I would have liked to transition into a job, but because of lockdown and COVID, my university was done in lockdown, so I wasn't able to go to, like, see job first to transition over to something. So I've kind of just in my head made myself a full-time player, but with no money. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully Sports for Champions can help out with that. Obviously it's a big part of what we do, and athletes with either no funding or partial funding are the people that obviously we try and help. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about looking forward to the school visits and that kind of thing? Is it something you've done before?
Yeah, it is something I've done before. So when I was at university, I worked with someone that my mum works with. My mum goes into schools and coaches sport. So I went and did that. I really enjoyed it. Working with the kids were really good to see, the kids coming through and how good they are at sport. So I really enjoyed teaching them some of my skills. But then also I like all sports, so I was very adaptable. Because I played cricket when I was younger. So I was teaching cricket. My mum plays hockey, so I've picked that up over time. So I was teaching them hockey skills, so yeah, quite adaptable and really enjoyed it.
Were you always athletic in school? Did you enjoy PE?
Yeah, I loved PE. That was like my favourite part. Playing outside on my breaks. I remember like my pumps would have holes in front of them because I'd use them so much. They were my favourite parts of my day.
It's so important, I think, for young people to have that role model, and then to see somebody like yourself coming into school. You never really know what you can inspire. Did you have a favourite sporting hero growing up?
My first one was Rooney and Ronaldo, because I had Man United season ticket when I was growing up, so that's basically all I saw, really. They were obviously Rooney, similar to me, a street player. Yeah, really inspired me growing up.
I think Rooney's attitude on the pitch is something that everyone could look up to, and I think maybe young people might not realise what he was like in those early years.
No.
Can you remember when you first, obviously you were a season ticket holder, can you remember what it was like first seeing him?
Just his work rate. I've still not seen anything like it since. I think he's underrated from the end of his career. People forgot how good he was, and how much he battled. I mean, he was 16 when he made his debut. I remember the goal for Everton against Arsenal when he came on, and it just showed like his power and his attitude to want to win.
Yeah, and then obviously Ronaldo, mentality monster, has kind of developed himself into arguably the best player ever just through sort of sheer hard work. He wasn't always like that when he first came to Man United. Do you remember those early days of him as well?
Yeah, I remember him diving all the time, actually, and Sir Alex Ferguson like saying, look, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Just use your talent.
He used to do about 10 step overs, didn't he? Standing someone
up. I think Carlos Queiroz, that was at United as well, he had a mentor to help him develop his game, and he wouldn't be the player he is now if it weren't for him being at United.
Yeah, it's so important, I think, to have the right people around you, and then obviously to have the right mindset. Do you have maybe a favourite sporting quote, something that you maybe touch on every now and then to keep you grounded?
Something that I look at is, I follow Show Up Daily. Like, do your best daily. Or even if it's not your best, give something to the day.
Yeah. And then, so do you take that forward? That's the wrong thing I was meant to say. Right. And then, do you have in the dressing room, do you have like music on and things like that? How's the sort of atmosphere around match day, that kind of thing?
We have music on before the game. Courtney Sweetman Kirk, who she works on Sky and things like that, she's a DJ.
Right. Okay.
So we have a mixture of music because she's got different backgrounds. So we get some like Jamaican type music and different vibes, and Yeah, it's cool.
How do you find that? Because some of the athletes that we talk to listen to music almost to hype themselves up.
Yeah.
And I think then some of the other athletes, they tend to like have to calm themselves down because they're already hyped up enough. How do you find the pre-match nerves?
I never really get nervous, to be quite honest. I think that's a good trait of mine. I'm quite cool and laid back. Probably that shows in the game. But before the game, I like to like G other people up. So if someone's nervous, I like to go up to them and say, you know what, we were just playing football, just relax.
Yeah, you've kind of been there before.
Yeah.
And then when you're playing, are you somebody that are you quite in your own head, or does it all kind of come quite naturally?
I think it comes quite naturally. I don't really dwell on things too much. If I make a mistake, just win your next tackle. Kind of got that bounce back ability. I don't really dwell on things at all.
I think that's a great lesson for life in general, to be fair.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for a young person maybe thinking of starting out in sport, or maybe even football specifically?
Just to take part, really. I mean, even the social part of sport, the friends that you meet along the way, that's a good thing. But also take part in sport because it keeps you healthy. And yeah, it's just a good thing to take part in, really.
Yeah, and then perhaps if there's a young budding footballer, is there anything maybe like practical, any advice that you might give to somebody looking to improve their skills?
And just keep practicing. Practice over and over again. I remember when I were learning a new skill when I was younger, probably video it, and just do it over and over again until it was perfect. That's what I always did.
There you go, practice makes improvement.
Yeah.
And then is there anything that you're looking forward to in the future, maybe for the rest of the season and then beyond?
Look forward to seeing where we can go in this league this year. Look forward to personally seeing how well I can do after a bit of an off-season last season with injuries. So I see this as being a very important year for me. And then in the future, see where I can go in the game. Whether I want to aim for being in the WSL, start regularly in the WSL, and then someday hopefully push into the England team.
Obviously, it was an amazing summer for the Lionesses. Did you go and watch any of the games?
Yeah, I caught a few games. Not even the England games, went to watch the other ones. I was watching France play. They were a really, really good team. But got the England semi-final. Got to watch Russo's back heel, which were, I played with Alessia growing up, so it was good to see her scoring. Obviously the final was unreal.
Yeah. What does that do you think for the women's game in the UK?
I think it builds it massively. There was a lot around us winning that Euros, not much pressure, but it was just about us winning, and if we actually win, what could it do? So me and Mary plays for Arsenal, and she was playing for Holland in the tournament. She was like, I want England to win because I'm at Arsenal, I want women's football in England to go through the roof. I think that's where it's kind of done, really, since it's constantly rising.
Yeah, somebody, I've always followed the men's game, but it has really broken through them barriers, and you're seeing it across all media, and now a lot of the stars of that that campaign are sort of going on to do media work and stuff like that, so it's definitely looking positive for the future.
Yeah, it is.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's
Thanks
been great talking
me.
To you. Now you're more than welcome. And thank you at home for joining us. We'll see you next time for some more Sports for Champions fun. Cheers.
Hi guys, hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, be sure to leave us a like and a subscribe, and check out all our other videos for some more great interviews and content. Bye.